Well, I don't know if you know this, but it is 2025. Did you guys see that coming? I did not. It's the new year, and it just happened. We as a church team and staff, we're always getting everything ready for Christmas Eve, and there are all kinds of things, kind of the big run all the way to Christmas Eve, and then we just stop for a second and take a breath. And then I looked around and I was like, oh no, like we're in January. Kids go back to school and we're not ready. What about January? What about all the things coming this year? Sometimes I find myself, tumbling right from Christmas break right into New Year and thinking, oh, I'm already behind. And so I want us to stop for a second and take a breath and look up and look out on the future of the year. And the next two series are going to help us to do that. This series, we're going to focus on how we can grow in this new year, right? And just take kind of stock. What does it look like for you personally to grow in this new year? And then in the next series, we're going to take a look at how do our families and how do we as a church get on mission with God in this new year. And I'm kind of really excited about that. That's the adventure that's coming, and that'll come in February. But we're gonna take the next 4 weeks and kind of reset and take a look. And so we're going to open the scripture together. Would you pray with me as we do that? God, we give you thanks that that you knew 2025 was coming. You had a plan for it all along. And you have a plan for us in this new year. And Father, we long to grow and to be the people that you called us to be. But I have no problem, God, seeing the gap between where I'm at really and where I long to be and the difficulty of getting there. And so I pray that you would speak to me. Speak to us today, God. You have a word for us. So as we open your scripture, speak to us. And may we hear it, but not just hear it, like really understand it. And God, I don't want to even just understand it, but like I want to grab hold of it with my heart. And then I want to actually, make life choices, like do things based on your word. So would you help us to be people who actually live our real lives based on your word? Speak to us today. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, my hope for this new year is that you would grow. And that you would grow, that you would flourish. Actually, being real honest, my hope for the new year is that I would grow. I want you to grow too, but this whole series is really going to be just for me, okay? And I'm going to look at some areas that, because I noticed in the last few weeks that that I could be better. I noticed there was some stuff that I could really do to grow. Excuse me. There's some stuff that I could do to really grow. I noticed this on Christmas Eve. We got done with the Christmas Eve services, and I got home, and, I was just focused on what was going on at church. And then we got home, Christmas Eve services, and I was like, oh, yeah, Christmas is tomorrow. And I went to Cammie, and I said, did you buy any presents that I could wrap to give to you? And it was at that moment that I realized I could be a better husband. You know what I mean? Like, I probably did not do that one very well. In fact, she didn't. I could do better. I could do better. I could grow. And I could be a better dad. I could grow in that as a father, and a better pastor. I see better pastors all the time. Sorry, guys. I see other pastors. Wow, man, they're great. Man, I could grow in that. I would love to. Or even just personally, just in my own heart and soul. I mean, there are things that I wish I did better. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day, how, sometimes I get excited, I feel great about life, but there are other days when I just, like, it just gets me down, Like, oh, man. And I just wish I was better at that, right? And better at navigating some of that stuff. And I was thinking about, man, I would love to grow in that. and to handle that better and to prepare myself for those ebbs and flows of life a little bit better. I wish I could grow in being proactive about some friendships, you know, just to growth as a friend. And to pursue some professional goals. You know, I have some goals that things I keep thinking like, man, I want to do that. I want to try that out. I want to get to that. And then I always think, man, that would be great. But then like, you know, putting that actually into place, like the step that it takes to get there, what happens is that I have this great goal, but then like today I found out, you know, my kids start school this week and we're not ready, right? And I was like, oh man, we got to do some stuff. And life starts to happen. And all of a sudden as life happens, the calendar fills up and it gets busy and the next thing's coming and then the next thing, and I lose sight of all those goals. And so there are all kinds of areas where I want to grow. And this week, you know, as the first of a year, I kind of take a look at that and I think, man, God, how can I grow? And there's one that's even more like, there's one area where I say, man, if I could grow in this, and if we could grow in this, then the rest of these pieces of life will actually flourish. And that is, I want to grow. I want to move towards being a person who is deeply in love with Jesus and who finds his great fulfillment every day in the journey of life with him. That's a big goal, right? That I could become more of a person, I could move in that direction of a person who's deeply in love with Jesus and that finds great fulfillment every day in running this journey, this race of life, or in this journey of life with Jesus, then if I could grow in that, then other things just start to flourish. The question is like, how do you go after a big goal like that? That's one you go like, well, okay, you know, that sounds great, Kaz. That's a good Sunday morning type goal, right? But, you know, like, what do you do about that? What I've found is that often, you know, when you take on a big goal, you can't get there directly. You know, you have to put some things into place for you to actually develop in that. It's not a direct shot. You know, you can't, you know this principle, right? Like, you don't just say, well, I want more friends, so direct path, I'm just going to ask people to be my friend. Some of you think that's okay, but I'm telling you right now, it doesn't work that well. I've tried that. Just don't go to a Starbucks and be like, hey guys, would you be my friend, right? That's weird. And it doesn't, there's no direct path. You got to put yourself into groups and places and be around people and join a team or go to pickleball. You know, you can make friends there, but don't just go ask people to be your friend. It's not that direct. Excuse me. So you've seen this principle in a lot of places in your life. Cammie and I, over 20 years ago, Cammie and I decided we wanted to figure out a way to find incredible joy. What would bring just incredible joy to our lives? And so we had a kid. And he didn't let us sleep for the first 4 months. And then he completely inconvenienced our lives and our schedule, completely. It required constant supervision, this guy. And he kept us exhausted. He robbed us of any alone time that we had ever had. He, as it turns out, made everything more expensive. And I mean, you know, everything. He made it all less tranquil, more expensive. Filled our calendars with exhausting amounts of activities that weren't even about us, that weren't stuff that we were hoping for even. The guy kept asking questions. He just wouldn't stop. He wouldn't put stuff away. He wouldn't leave my stuff alone. And even just last night, that kid called me and said, hey, Dad, my credit card's been hacked. Could you send me a picture of yours? I need to buy some stuff. I was like, Dad, that's not a great idea. We thought, you know, this will bring us great joy, but that's not the direct path I was thinking. And then we did that three more times. We just had three more kids, just to add to it. It's not the path that you would think would bring you great return on investment there. And yet, There's nothing that I could describe for you that has brought such incredible joy to me in my life as learning to be a father and navigating and running the race of being a dad and a parent alongside Cammy. I mean, it's just incredible joy. Joy that I couldn't express. It's something in my life that just fills me up to the brim, and I just get excited about. And even when the frustrations, and even when you look at all the list of stuff that it costs you, there's great joy there. And it doesn't make sense in a typical logic. You know, no analyst would look and say, "Yeah, invest in that, and that will bring joy." And yet, it does, right? There's a principle at play there, and it's actually a very biblical principle. The principle that Jesus gave us is this. He says, when you give yourself away, see, that's where you find life. But it's not one that we think, oh, yeah, that's the plan. Well, find joy. Just give myself away. Just empty it out. And yet, biblically, Jesus says, this is where fulfillment is found. This is where joy is found. This is where growth is found. In this series, we're going to talk about how do you grow? What are some real ways that you can grow in your relationship with God? We're going to look at four different ones over the 4 weeks. One of those weeks, we'll talk about, and I'm just giving them simple names, right? One week, we're going to talk about, we're going to call it rows. Just kind of think in a picture, right? What are rows? We gather in rows as we gather together for worship, that idea of corporate worship. We're gathered in rows. And so 1 week, we're going to talk about how do you grow in faith, gather together in corporate worship, make that a priority for your year, and you're going to find growth there. Another thing that we do, though, is we grow as we find ourselves in circles. And that's small groups, these little groups where you be part of a class, be part of a Bible study, be part of a group where people know your name and you're doing faith together. And this February, you're going to have a chance to be a part of something where we're doing it as a whole church and we're going to grow together. We're going to go on this adventure. How do we get our life and our family's life on mission with God? It's kind of an exciting adventure we're going to talk about. And I'm really, really excited and I want you to be a part of that. And so we'll talk about that in a couple weeks, but we grow as we gather in circles. And then chairs, think about an individual chair just sitting by itself, because there's something about our growth and our spiritual development that we need to carve out time to be with God, to pray and read scripture and talk to God and listen to God. And so you need that as well. And then the fourth one is what we want to talk about today. And that is the idea of stacks, right? So we got rows, circles, chairs. But sometimes you take those chairs and you stack them up. You know this because if you've been around the summer when we get ready to do VBS, there's that one Sunday before VBS when I get you to stand up to do the benediction. You think I'm having you do a benediction, but I'm faking you out. And I say, everybody, stack your chairs up, right? You know, we stack them up and move them to the sides as we get ready for VBS. In fact, we do a lot of chair stacking and unstacking around here and moving chairs because we're an active church. There are always things going on. But that idea of stacking up chairs is sometimes a way to grow is to actually serve. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's not necessarily what we think of as a direct path. You don't go like, how am I going to grow spiritually this year? I should do something. I should serve. That's not necessarily what we think of. And yet, this is a way to growth. We're going to look at Galatians chapters 5 and 6. Galatians chapters 5 and 6. Now, we're only going to read from chapter 5, but this argument that Paul is making to this church in the region of Galatia, it goes through both of those chapters, and so you can take a look at it together. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18, but I'm going to pick up a couple pieces before that. Here's what's going on. He's talking to this young church. There's actually a couple churches there in the region, and he's saying to them, you need to live out the faith. You need to live it out well. But he's doing some correction. They're pretty new Christians, and there's some arguments going back and forth and some tension. And in verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7, he gives this great line that I just love, because you can just see that it's just Paul. He's not speaking as a theologian. He's just a pastor talking to some guys and saying, hey, man, what's going on? And he's just a gentle correction. But he says this, you were running a great race. You were doing a great job. And then he goes, it's like, I love this language. Who cut in on you? Right? Who cut in on you and messed you up? Who cut in on you and knocked you off track? Who cut in on you and moved you out of the right direction so that you can't listen and obey the scripture? Who cut in on you? So he's correcting them. And now Paul's going to walk through this argument. And the major point of this is he's going to contrast living in the law versus living in the spirit. So living in the law looks like this. It's like, hey, these are a set of laws. Here's a set of rules. Just, you know, if you just get by these rules, everything's going to be okay. And he says, that's an empty way to live, right? And they've heard this message before, but he's going to have to reteach it to them. So he goes, that's an empty way to live. You don't have to live by the law. He says, you have freedom from the law. But then he goes, but don't take your freedom and just indulge your sinful nature, right? Your freedom doesn't mean just go do whatever you want. He says, you have freedom to live life in the spirit. So it's not just law versus freedom, but it's a nuanced version of freedom, right? He says, freedom doesn't lead to flourishing unless it's life in the spirit. And so he says, you have freedom to live life in the spirit. So what you want to do is you want to follow the Holy Spirit. You want to live in the way of Christ. And so he's laying these two things out. You have freedom. You don't have to live in under the law, but you need to live according to the spirit. It's not freedom to indulge the flesh. Now let's look at this. This is chapter 5, and we'll pick up in verse 13. This is what he says. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He gives us this picture, right? He's laying it out. You don't have to be under the law, but it doesn't mean free to do anything. Live by the Spirit. And next, he's going to say, hey, I know that you're new Christians. I'm just going to paint a picture for you of what these things look like. And so in verse 19, he gives us a list of what it looks like to just indulge the flesh. He goes, these things are obvious, right? And we're not going to read through all of them, but this is what he says. This is just some. He goes, acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Now, so far, I'm doing pretty good, right? I'm not witchcraft, not my thing, you know? I'm all right. Debauchery, not usually debauchery. And so I'm doing all right. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. I'm feeling okay about myself. My kids might differ, you know, fits of rage. They're like, nah, sometimes. I'm okay, right? That's not me. He keeps going, unfortunately, though. And selfish ambition, oof. Dissensions, factions, envy. He just keeps going. Drunkenness and the like. I mean, that list, you go, oh, man, Paul. Now, he's not saying like, hey, these are the evil people and these are the good people. And, he's not what he's saying at all. He's saying this is in all of us. And if we just follow after the direction of our if we just indulge ourselves, the direction we already kind of want to go, that's what ends up happening. That's what it looks like. And he says, this does not lead to flourishing. This does not lead to growth. Now, Paul's going to contrast that then to down in verse 22. In verse 22, he's going to give us something that you might be very familiar with. This is the fruits of the Spirit. Right? And he's going to say, don't go that way. Don't indulge. Go this way like the fruits of the Spirit. And he's going to lay that out. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, these are ones you might know, right? Because when we're kids in Sunday school and VBS, we sing songs about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace. We don't sing songs about the indulgence of the flesh. We don't have like a debauchery song or whatever. We don't do that one. So you don't even know that list, but you know the fruits of the the fruits of the Spirit list. Yeah, that's what we want to be. It's kind of this beautiful picture, right? And Paul says, this is what growth looks like. This is the way you want to go. Now, here's the problem, though. We got the two lists. We got the debauchery side. We got the fruit side. And it's almost like I see Paul standing there and he's going, yeah, man, stop doing that stuff. Start doing that stuff. Simple. Which is what January always feels like to me. It's simple. You know, I probably shouldn't have spent every Saturday for the last few months with 12 hours watching football on television. That probably wasn't a good, you know, idea for my personal health or being a good dad. You know what I'm saying? I probably should have watched less football games. That makes sense, right? I probably shouldn't have eaten all the things I just willfully ate. I chose to eat those things over the Christmas break, but I probably shouldn't have. I could see it. And it's like Paul's going like, yeah, you know, so just stop doing it. The problem is, I don't. And then he goes like, look, here's the good stuff. Start looking this way. Start looking like the fruits of the Spirit. Have patience, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I should have patience, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Why don't I just start doing that? It's just, I try to start doing that. I try to have patience. But you got to understand, when the first tardy bell rings at 7:45 and your kid's not awake at 7:35, right? Patience is a difficult thing. You know what I'm saying? Because you like, is a dad still, you know, what does that look like? Why don't I do it? You know, Paul actually talks about this in Romans chapter 7 and 8. That's where he says, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Like, I always do the things I don't want to do. Why can't I just do these things I want to do? Paul gets that he's not just standing there going, hey, look, you can see it, right? Stop doing that stuff. Start doing that stuff. Just fix it. But Paul doesn't just leave us there with this picture of one good and one messed up. Paul actually gives us a way forward. He says, this is what you can do. Now, it was back up in verse 13. So I want to go back to verse 13 and take a look at it for a second. And the way I've read this so many times, I just kind of cruise on past it. But he says this is verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, see, that's the part where he goes, hey, you're called to be free, but don't go the way of indulgence. He says, don't go the debauchery route. And then he gives a rather, and now he's going to give us a step. Here's something practical you can do. Because what's so hard is just to look at it and be like, I just want to be better. I'm just going to be better and just decide I'm going to be better. Like, that doesn't usually work. That's like every New Year's resolution. I just decide to be better. 5 days in, I'm like, yeah, I decided, but it got cold outside, and I just couldn't really follow through on the decision. Paul doesn't do that. He says, here's something to do to move in that direction. You see, it's not direct. You can't just go ask somebody to be your friend. You got to put yourself in the right place. You got to take the right first step. Paul gives you a first step. He says this. He says, rather than indulging the flesh, do not let yourself, I'm reading the wrong one. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, he says, verse 13, serve one another humbly in love. He doesn't say, rather than indulge the flesh, go have some of the fruits of the Spirit. No, he gives an action point, not be patient. That's not the action point. The action point is serve. That's what he sends him to do. He actually uses a servant type word there. He's going back to this moment that I'm sure he had heard the stories of. It was this moment right before Christ was going to the cross when he was gathered with his disciples and they're sharing a meal, sort of a commencement meal with the disciples, and he's going to send them off into ministry. And what Jesus does at the end of that meal is he gets up from the table, he grabs a towel and he wraps it around his waist and he starts washing feet. And one of the disciples is like, hey, you can't do that with me. You're my master. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. And he goes, hey, unless I wash your feet, and nothing, you know, you're going to have anything to do with me. And Jesus goes ahead and washes his feet and washes all of their feet. And then Jesus tells them this. He says, now, he commissions them. Now you go and do this to others, right? That's what it means to be a disciple. And Paul picks that up and goes, hey, you want to grow? You want to grow in discipleship? You want to grow with spiritual growth? Put some action into your faith by serving. Pick up a towel, find a place, and serve. Now all of a sudden it makes sense. If you don't want to go towards the debauchery route, if you don't want to just indulge the flesh, there's something you can do about it. Something more than just saying, oh, I got to stop that. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I want to just stand there. It's like, over Christmas, we made all these cakes and cookies, and then people gave us candy and cakes and cookies and stuff. And then Cammie's like, you know, we gotta eat better and be healthy and get in shape. And then she just leaves all the cookies on the counter and then says, don't eat this. And I feel like I'm just standing around looking at the cake going, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat that cake. Paul doesn't go just stand there and go, stop doing that stuff. Stop. Just look at stop. Because moving away, fleeing from sin is a biblical way of saying it. Fleeing from sin works much better if you're running towards something, right? And you want to run towards Christ's likeness. And you want a very practical way to do it? Grab a towel and serve somebody. And if you want to grow spiritually, sometimes I think if I want to grow spiritually, man, I'm going to have some great worship experience. I'm going to go on some awesome retreat. And those things can be incredible, and they really, really can. But if I just go seeking after that all the time, those are few and far between. Those can be powerful moments. They're wonderful. But you know what I can do every day? I can actually serve someone. I can find a way to give myself away. Paul's going to go on then and talk about it in chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, he goes on and he says, hey, what you have to do, you have to carry one another's burdens. You know, you gotta carry each other. And if you lean into this, if you start serving, if you look for ways to give yourself away, it's there that you'll find growth. It's there that you'll find fulfillment. But in chapter 6, he recognizes some of you have been working real hard and you're not necessarily seeing it, you know? You don't see all the glory for it. You're like, where's the return on investment? And so Paul also reminds them that in time, you will, in fact, reap your reward. You may see it in this life, you may see it in the life to come, but he says, but in time, you'll reap your reward. That God does. He promises. He reminds you. This is one of the promises of Scripture that you can base on. He promises you. You will find your fulfillment in this. Give your life away to find life. He says, model yourself on Jesus who grabbed a towel, who started washing feet. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this year, 2025. I want you to find a way to serve. You know, we encourage you to do that and to be a part of that and to be on the team all the time. Just wasn't even that many weeks ago where Joey preached a great sermon encouraging. So many of you said, yeah, I'm going to find a way to volunteer. I'm going to be a part of impacting someone's life. And I, this is a reminder. But I want you to hear this message in this. I want you to serve not because the church needs you to serve, although we do. I want you to serve not just because there are kids whose lives can be impacted, although they will. I want you to serve not because your neighbor really just needs Jesus, even though they do. I want you to serve selfishly, right? I want you to serve because God promises that's how you'll grow. I want you to serve because that's what growth will look like for you this year. And it's a simple step forward. You can find something simple. There are all kinds of opportunities. You can read at Riverwood. You can pass out food with the team that passes out food. You can go downtown to First Press or the Burrito Ministry. You can serve in our youth ministry, in our kids ministry, and have an unbelievable impact, even if you serve even in small ways. You can serve, you know, when we have funerals and big life events and things that happen, there's a whole team that helps care for those families and make sure that we have food. And you can serve with that team. You can start a ministry on your street, or you can mentor somebody, or you can just talk to a neighbor, but you can find a way to serve. It does not matter how you serve, you know, what the function is, what the official ministry is. It matters that you, in the name of Jesus, give your life away, that you would grab a towel, you start washing feet. And as you do that, see, that's where you grow. First Peter says you were called to a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Priests are people that usher others into the kingdom of God. And I often think about priests, you know, the priestly duties and what they did. They did sacrifices and all kinds of, you know, they read liturgies and they did stuff like that. You know what else the priests did? They kept the temple area. They made it nice. The priests greeted people and they hung out with folks. The priests made sure things functioned and they did the administrative work. And what the scripture tells us is that every one of us is to be a priest. And this is what it looks like to serve. Because it's a holy thing that you do when you serve. You're a priest. Now, it was at that meal that Jesus washed feet that he took the bread that was at the table. And scripture tells us it was on the night that he was betrayed. He took that bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then scripture says, in the same way, he took the cup and he poured it out and said, "This is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins." This is the new covenant. As often as you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, you do so remembering me. And he invited those disciples to a meal, to share in his journey to the cross, right? In his death, but also in his resurrection. And then he washed their feet, and then he sent them out. The meal was like a commissioning. And today, as we take communion, you're going to be reminded that you've been invited to this meal to share together with this God who knows how broken you are and still offers you grace, and he invites you to the meal. And not only that, it's a meal where you meet him and where you're transformed and changed, but it's also a commissioning meal where you head off into the priesthood to serve. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll take communion together. Let me pray over us. Father, would you meet us today? It doesn't take very many seconds for us to recognize, God, just how far we off from reaching our goals. And that our goals aren't even the kind of goals that you have for us. I mean, we're not even in the same realm. And we recognize just how broken and just how fallen we are. God, we come to you with honesty. And we ask that you would take our whole lives, and you would mold us and shape us. God, would you meet us with grace today? Take these common elements, this bread and juice, and set them aside for your holy purpose, that we might experience you and meet you in it. And you would do the work of transformation in our hearts and souls. And then, Father, send us off with this commissioning meal to grab towels and wash feet and find places to serve. God, meet us in this time, we pray. Amen.